Blog Talk Radio.
Thor, Hercules, Superman. Look inward. Can we, as human beings, achieve hero status? Should we try? We will be discussing the hero archetype tonight on Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Boucare. Sunday evening edition of Spiritual Insight. Darren Boucare will be joining us in just a moment. Right before we bring him on, I just want to make an announcement, some station announcements, reminding you that this is a network of five shows. We'll start with this one, Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Boucare, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. All these shows are Eastern. Monday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Mr. Kevin Baird. Kevin is joining us all the way from the Temple of Gaia, and he can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. On Tuesdays at 11:30 a.m., our only a.m. show, which is Inner Wisdom with Mary Thielen. Mary, as well as a television show that's been on the air for 14 years. That show is called Telepathic TV. On Wednesdays, we have the flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe. Main Street Universe is on at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with myself and hostess Janice, who is as well hostess of the World Reggae Party here in Northern Virginia. Now, on Friday evenings, we have Jesse Ann Nichols George, 12 o'clock midnight on Friday. So those are our five shows, all of them Eastern Time, and we're continuing to expand, so keep tuning in. We sometimes do a Renegade Thursday night show, and we may be doing a Friday one. Maybe World Reggae Party will have a presence here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. I'm going to go ahead now and turn on Darren's microphone.
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello?
Darren.
Hi. Daniel, happy spring expansion, Ostara or Easter, all that jazziness.
That's right.
How was your day so far?
Great. We had a little Easter party at the house, which of course means my brother's wife, who is an amazing cook, made fantastic food and had some friends coming over and all that sort of thing. So even did a little Easter egg hunt for some of the kids that were here. So.
Oh, how nice is that? That's cool.
So all around
yeah,
nice day.
I kind of miss a huge, you know, gathering for Easter egg hunt. That's always amazing.
I was never really that good at them. I always got distracted.
mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I got a ham in the oven and, you know, a little botanical action on the kit in the kitchen here, and a lot of spring sort of elemental energy happening. So that's good. That's good. I'm excited about this topic. I mean, it's just the thing is, I wanted to examine it maybe for Easter because we have, like, when we do look into, like, Hercules, Perseus, Thor, you know, a lot of cross-cultural, Samson, all these giant, prolific, athletic feats of valor and courage are how they measure the you know, the temerity and integrity of a man. Now, the juxtaposition of that with all Christian, you know, we don't want to really say mythos, but it's that, you know, there's an empathic or a sacrificial lamb sort of aspect to the whole hero idea. You know, and then we can draw that back to, like, the, you know, Mithras and Balder and a lot of the other end of the whole of myth cycles and that sort of thing. So I just think it's an interesting way to kind of just look at what's happening with the holiday and look at the differential between the way certain different cultures before Christianity related to, theosophy and their spirituality.
Absolutely. And in the case of Jesus, we're talking about maybe a different type of hero, and certainly not the first archetype of that type, but the type of hero that's one that gives of themselves. It's the sacrifice. Or you can think a living person. Somebody may admire Mother Teresa, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who lives a virtuous life and who gives of themselves. And then there's the other sort of hero, which is what you're trying to build your strengths up to, which is, you know, I want to be strong like, you know, Thor or Hercules or be gifted like Perseus and et cetera, et cetera.
Giving of yourself with force and courage. And I think that the two elemental, like, you know, sort of looks at it, I mean, they can really meet in the middle, because is it any less courageous to become the sacrificial lamb of God than it is to, say, face a Gorgon that could turn you into stone or attack a giant that's as tall as a mountain? I mean, you know, where do you split hairs? Especially if you watch the History Channel's This is the retrospective on crucifixion, which was not really fun to watch. Not my favorite thing to watch on the History Channel, I gotta be honest.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it.
Maybe I could have dumped out or what, but I wasn't the biggest fan of that.
Mm.
You know, it was basically like an hour and a half of, like, this is how we crucify people, this is the origin of it, this is how, you know. And what's amazing is that, oh, yeah, it was a very, very popular method of scaring the shit out of anybody. They didn't, I mean, you know, just scaring people into not breaking laws and doing certain things, because it was just a terrible way to die. I mean, quite frankly.
And you know, in the modern day, you can even think of, if you're trying to do the right thing sometimes and sacrifice for something, even if it's not in that context that you're going to risk crucifixion, but of course people can just be scared because, oh gosh, I might lose my job. An example could be, now I was on this job and I didn't really care all that much if I lost it.
That's mm-hmm. me.
But I told the guy, and I'm not trying to get too personal or political here, but okay. The guy said, you wanted me to go to this job and mm-hmm. I didn't approve. I won't even go into what it is. I didn't approve of the type of place it was.
Okay.
And I said, I won't work there. And he said,
"Was it like,
I thought he was yell at me,
underhanded, or I mean,
no, it was just I didn't approve of it, and
okay.
I'll leave it at that. And
okay.
But then I thought the guy was going to yell at me for turning down the assignment, and instead he was like some old guy smoking a cigar, and like the second in command guy was like, see, I told you he refused to go, but the old guy was like, all right, at least he believes in something. I don't care. Yeah, send him somewhere else." So he turned out,
okay.
But I did what I thought was the right thing, and the guy was like, oh, okay, you got some kind of principles. I like that. But it can be scary, though, because sometimes
it's,
if you want to do
it. It's surprising, but it feels good. I mean, you know, I mean, that vertebrae of integrity.
Yeah. And people can be scared to go do what they think is the right thing and going against the grain. They could risk other sorts of, you know, you might lose your job. You might just be, oh, what will people say, right? People get scared of all those kinds of things, too.
Well, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get into personal testimonials, but I mean, it's, I guess it's, I deal with it, that sort of, you know, taking that risk every day. Because people ask me, you know, they say, you know, if I'm just talking to somebody casually, say at a coffee shop that just I bump into, oh, what do? You know, if I don't want to engage, you know, for any, you know, period of time, I'll just say, oh, I'm a consultant.
Right.
But, you know, darn it, if doesn't everybody just keep going and go, oh, what kind of consulting do you do? Maybe
just
look at me and they just, and then I'll, and I won't be afraid to say it. I'll say, yes, I'm a spiritual or intuitive consultant. I work with, all sorts, a whole realm of different divinatory techniques, and I've been doing, you know. So I don't give them my resume, but, you know, I mean, immediately opens the doorway to, I can't even tell you how many. Oh my gosh, do you believe in werewolves? Like, what? why does that apply to, I don't understand.
I
literally am like the doorway to anything like paranormal. You know, I don't know.
Darren, we do have a caller on the line.
Oh, okay.
And I see we have.
Yeah, I see. Let's go ahead and take him and see what's going on.
Okay, we'll keep this going. Hello, 207. You're on the air. Here is your symbol. Hello?
That's my symbol, huh?
That's right. I'm in a music studio that I helped build with my brother, and I'm right next to a drum kit. So.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I was hoping for Entourage music, but a symbol is nice.
I like it, though. You're demanding, and you know what you want. I like it.
Maybe we'll have a piano to, like, play you off when you're getting off, too.
I do have my guitar.
Okay. So that's good. Happy Easter. Wow, how about that one? So what's your name, sir?
Tom.
Tom, okay. Well, hello. Any thoughts on the idea of heroic, you know, the whole idea of a hero in spirituality and the significance of it as opposed to, say, like the sacrificial lamb ideology, or does any,
you know,
any of that
preempted? I came into Q and I was thinking, gee, you know, I really don't have a hero like that. But then I was thinking, I do, you know, I am fond of Archangel Michael. He's not a mythological hero, but maybe he is my hero in a way.
I would love to talk about Michael. That would be wonderful.
I mean, I do call on him when I'm opposed on certain things and I have to go into battle of some type, you know. So
that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Who mentioned Michael to you, or first talked to you about it, or the significance of Michael for people that are dealing with adversity or situations that might be a little negative or difficult?
Ooh, this goes back a long way. I have a parochial school background, so I would guess it would be somewhere in there, although it wasn't until, I would say, within the last 15 years or 20 years that I've really started to call on him, and I wear an Archangel Michael ring around my neck on a string. It's like a talisman, you know. It's written in Greek.
Oh, wow.
It's really nice. I mean, it's not made out of sterling or anything like that. It's symbolic, basically. But,
Well, I can't tell you how many clients that I mentioned that how significant Michael is. And it's because that if we're going to talk archangels, you're going to a higher authority, you're going past a lot of other energies that you can work with. And when you're dealing with an archangel, you know, that's somebody that God just put in charge of a whole sect of you know, especially with Michael, I mean, that's somebody that's there to be an interventionalist between negative energies and that person. If they're aligned with the unconditional light and love of God, then he's there to protect them. So
that's right.
I talk to a lot of people who are dealing with really difficult situations.
Very difficult situations. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't always call on him. I thank him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for being there when at times, but going back in biblical stories, I mean, wasn't he put in charge of the other archangels and the other angels?
Let's kind of pull all of our knowledge on Michael a little bit. You know, between the three of us, like, see, yeah, as far as I know, like, he's kind of. I mean, Gabriel is kind of the person that is the, you know, the messenger, the speaker, the voice of God.
Right.
And then you have Michael as kind of, I don't want to say the disciplinarian, but would you agree with that, Daniel?
Yes, to some degree, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He has the flaming sword of God's will. He has the right to strike or negate something that's not working in accordance to the energy that God put out. So in effect, he could largely be, you know, I mean, if we're going to just talk it in full on, like, you know, Gabriel's the voice of, but Michael has the power to affect change in God's name. So, and I can't tell you, you know, it's funny, I was just, the altar that I have up to Michael, I have a lot of altars in my home, but it's right directly across from where I sit in the living room. And I was just really contemplating that today and thinking about him and thinking, oh, do I want to move the altar or what's going on? But the thing is, when you think about what's going on with Michael, it's just like I just recently worked with a client of mine to just kind of elevate her energy beyond fear, and I just tied her into Michael, mentioned Michael, and there's an energy with him. It's almost like a wavelength of energy. When people can tie into that, that's what the releasing from anger, fear, and disappointment and doubt, and it's almost an immediate thing, and it's really quick, and I think it's great, and we should thank him. You know, we shouldn't just ask him for help. We should thank him. That's a good, you made a very good point, and I appreciate that. So thank you for reminding me.
And he, one thing about while you're thinking of him as like authority is because, like you said, the sword, he's the one that when God needs to get things done, he's like a strong, powerful leader. You know, he's the one wielding that sword and was the one to go against one of the other archangels that had a little turn there, which was Lucy.
Right.
And he was the one sent basically to sort of deal with Lucifer. So that's how strong God thought Archangel Michael was to be able to best him in combat is a pretty impressive thing.
Well, and to be the guy to tell, you know, the Son of Morning and Lucifer that, you know what, you're wrong, man. You are wrong. You know, because everyone was thinking it, but they didn't want to say it. Like, no one, like, I don't want to be the one to tell him he's wrong or make him, you know, like, I don't want to be that guy, and somebody's got to be the one. Somebody's got to be the disciplinarian.
Right.
And believe me, I used to be all the nuns in school. They'd be like, oh, my gosh, Darren would never shut up. Like, I was the class clown. I was always trying to, you know, because I love people and I like to interact with people. But, you know, as a professional, a spirit worker, and as somebody that helps the public and has a lot of people that, you know, depend on me for guidance and, you know, spiritual manifestations and advice, I have to be the disciplinarian sometimes. Sometimes I have to give bad news. I don't want to, you know, and it's not easy. And there's nothing comical about it. You know, so sometimes we have to really appreciate what Michael, the energy that Michael is, and we have to emulate that in a sense, you know?
Yes. And 207, are you there? I think I lost you for a minute, but I think you're back on.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Have you had a situation where you had to do, like, kind of emulate Michael's energy at all?
Caller?
Yes, I did. I had, in a nutshell, there was a MoneyGram that Walmart I had
mm-hmm.
sent to somebody,
mm-hmm.
and they were like in another state, and they wouldn't honor the money grant to him. So I went back to my Walmart. I called them on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and they said, no, there's nothing we can do. And I got so upset that the veins in my neck were sticking out. And I said, I will be there in 2 minutes, and you will do something. And I raced there, and I was, my voice was so loud calling for Michael
mm-hmm.
to please get this money to this man, because he needed it for animals, for feed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
now, would you have lost your money in this transaction, or they just were they just didn't want to let you send it?
We would have lost our money.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No wonder you got upset. Mm-hmm.
You know how MoneyGrams work? You know, it's 30 days. You have to wait to trace it.
I do. I have a lot of clients that live out of state, so yeah.
And this man needed the money for pets, to feed the pets that day.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he traveled some 30-some odd miles to Walmart, and he had everything he needed. Everything. Just like they told me and I told them. And I called on Michael, and I'm holding my chest because I have my ring on my chest, and I'm driving with one hand like a frantic idiot, you know, through the parking lot. And I'm saying, Michael, please, wield your sword and get me out of this, you know,
mm-hmm.
help me here. And I went in, and the minute I walked in the store, my blood pressure just went down.
Mm-hmm.
I was calm as can be. And I
mm-hmm.
just asked to speak to the manager. And as I walked in, the one girl pointed me to the counter, and the girl on the counter said, he's here now. And they said, Mr. Greiner, no problem. I can take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was straightened out.
You gave it up to Michael.
I gave it up.
As a human being, you didn't try to own that situation and do it yourself.
I gave it up to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, here's what's happening, you know. And poof, it was released from me because I gave it up.
Mm-hmm. People don't understand that. I try to explain all the time. If you're flailing at a wall and with all your human might and you're like, bah, 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 and it's not budging, and you've been doing this for years and years and years, then you have to give it up to higher energy. And I don't, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of higher energy, but sometimes you got to just admit, and even if it's like you're a Buddhist and you just believe in the almighty, you know, communal Brahman or whatever, you know, just got to give it up to a little bit of something outside of yourself, you know, and especially with Michael, because he's a problem solver.
Well, you just said the right word. You said belief. You have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe. Because if you have no belief in it,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it's, you
well,
know, you're,
I faced a difficult
work.
Time when I was in D.C. I had a house, I don't know, I may have related this in a previous show, but I had a house where there was a very, very strong spirit that couldn't be, you know, it was there. So they just started, creating homes in this plot of land in the District of Columbia where, and nothing had been built there in over 250 years. But there's only so much, you know, room in D.C., so, they, you know, they start kind of commissioning. The school just sold off their land. So anyway, they build this stuff, and then this guy was there, you know, and he was an indentured slave of some sort where he was working this land, and they built the house right on top of this little, you know, tract where he was, and he died. And so this family was just having a very difficult time with it. You know, they had a dog that couldn't eat, the people were they couldn't breathe because the man had gotten choked before he passed away. So all this stuff, and so I call my mentor in Savannah, and I say, you know, because I hadn't talked to her in years and years and years, like 10 years maybe, and, you know, and she's like, Darren, just, and I'm like, I need to lift him into the light, and she's like, have you asked, you know, an angel for him? I asked an archangel or Raphael, they heal the situation or anybody? I'm like, oh, no. She's like, well, why not? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Because I didn't think of it. And sure enough, that's exactly what I did. And, you know, the energy in the house changed immediately. It didn't like snap a finger and there was nothing there. But after about a week of, revisiting and, you know, there's everything was fine because I wasn't doing it myself. I wasn't little Darren coming into this giant $16 million home trying to chase away an energy that had been stuck there for hundreds of years. You know, so it's the same thing that you did when you went for the money grant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, why do they give people such a problem with money grant? I don't understand.
I don't know why
I had this person try to send me money. They wouldn't let her do it. Like, it was just she had all the ID and everything. I think it gets stuck online if you're doing it online sometimes, where they if you give them some information and you're trying to re-verify it, sometimes that if you don't give them back the same exact information, if you give them like the wrong phone number or something, then they just block it or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Oh, it was so frustrating because I asked him when I purchased it. I had him on the phone, and I said, "What is he going to need?" They said he will need a reference number. I said, "Okay." I gave him the reference number. He will need two forms of ID: one with a picture on. And one of them be a driver's license. I said, "Do you have a driver's license?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." And that's all he needed. Oh, yeah, and a secret question, you know. And that
and
was my daughter.
And a secret question, right. And then let's say you forget what question it was or what's your daughter. I think there's a commercial out now that's like the girl's like, "What's your first pet's name?" She's like, "I don't know. It was a fish or a gilly." Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
because when you're doing this stuff, you come up with it, and then you forget. I mean, a day later, you forget what the damn secret question you picked was, you know?
Well,
oh, yeah.
Well, the thing that got me was when he called me, he said they have no record of that transaction.
Oh,
that
got your blood heated up at that point.
All right,
so
and gentlemen, I just wanted to step in real quick. We do have another couple of callers on the line, so I wanted to ask the caller, were you looking for a reading this evening from Darren?
Yes, I was. I was just looking for a quick, I know I took up all of your time. What do you see in store for me for the next couple of weeks?
As far as finances go. All right. Oh, as far as finances go.
Yeah. Money
I am sorry. What's your first name again? I apologize.
Tom.
Tom, that's right. I thought it was Tom. Okay. I knew it was a monosyllabic word. Okay. Hold on. One moment. I'd like to ask what's going on with Tom in the next 2.5 weeks or so with finance. Okay, so it's kind of a dichotomy here. When I asked my spirit guide, I got some bright energy. When I see bright spots, like a bright energy globe, it means that there's pinpoints of positivity happening, but they were farther away from you. So I'm saying that on the tail end of this time period, what we're seeing is that you're going to be financially substantiated, okay? We have the world. The world is inverted. So the world means that whatever you're doing right now is not your path anymore, okay? The world, it means that everything's sinking, there's synchronicity happening, things are coming together, and what you're doing right now, as of the next week and a half, is not where the money's going to gel together. It's an alternate situation. But the second card I got is the King of Pentacles, and that relates to the energy, the balls of energy I was seeing when I asked my spirit guide. So if there's something you're debating about changing, how you pull together your money in the next week, that's what you need to do. Because you can either struggle with it for the next week and a half or so, or you can just modulate it, and that's where you'll come in, because the King of Pentacles is sitting on the throne of financial security. So the question is, Tom, what can you modulate? What's out there that, what were you thinking about changing, and then how fast can you do it?
I'm working on a business plan, and I gave it a couple of days off because I was getting overwhelmed.
Okay.
So I'm going back into it, and it's not going to give me immediate cash, but I have some cash coming in the mail this week.
There's a way for you to utilize the resources you have without trying to pull in resources that might put you in a place that would make you like a little upside down, I would not
yeah.
do that. Okay. You work with the resources you have. If that means your sign isn't amazing, then fine. If it means your marketing isn't great right away, that's okay. At least you can work. You'll be solvent while you're doing this upstart business, and that's important.
Okay.
Very good. And I'm happy for you. Slow your roll. Relax a little bit. Take your time. And things. I think by the end of the year, you're going to see things really gelling together with this. That's when you want to actually drop some money into marketing. Is at the end of the year. That's what I would do.
At the end of the year. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, towards the end of the year. But in the meantime, get your name open, you know, open your doors, whether it be online or physically, and, you know, get the ball rolling. Don't be too aggressive. You know, don't put yourself upside down, because that's exactly the opposite of what I'm getting from my spirit guide about what you should do. Okay?
Okay. Slow it down.
Slow it down. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks a lot.
And
Tom, we'll just speak with you. Yes.
And here's
nice
your exit. A little guitar.
Okay.
So there you go. You did get a theme song on the way out.
Now that's an entourage.
But it was only one, not the whole entourage. But we're working on it. Darren will sing next time.
Okay. Oh, I might do that. I know
right.
Moon River. I'm pretty good with that one.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. Thank you, Tom. And he was a very pleasant caller. We have another caller on the line, Darren.
Okay.
And we were just talking about this archangel here. Michael.
Hi, how you going?
Doing well.
Hey, hi there. I'm here with Darren Bucher and Daniel Michael. How was your holiday of sorts today?
Yeah, it's good, you know, just spending time with the family and whatnot, and getting together for the holidays, you know, it's not often you get to see all your family all at once, so it's a pretty good occasion.
Is it a more of a sober sort of holiday for you guys, or is it more of like a raucous sort of wild and crazy with kids running around all over the place?
Well, you know, there's bound to be a couple beers flowing about in my
mm-hmm.
celebration, so.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay.
You know.
A little bit of both, then.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an eye on the kid somewhere.
Okay, good. So
anyway,
did you have an idea? Uh-huh, yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to call up. I've got some work sort of related ventures happening in the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I want to get like a reading as to if it will go through in a favorable way for me.
Okay. Now you said work situations, plural.
Yeah.
Okay. So and then when you said I want to know if it's going to go through, so that gives me the inclination that maybe there may be one or two that may not go through, or are they all linked together? Is the question.
Well, there's a couple of different ventures. Like there's
okay,
one.
Okay. Well, can we isolate each one, and then that way I can kind of. So
well,
you,
I'll explain
so,
to you.
Uh-huh.
That, like, there's about three or four of them. I'll just go through them quickly. One of
okay.
them is a 4-month-old prostitution ring. One of them is selling drugs to teenagers. One of them is selling explosives to the Koreans.
Okay.
All right. And
okay, that
for some reason,
wonderful.
I had a funny feeling about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we will. Not take calls for a few minutes. We will continue our discussion on hero archetypes. We were talking a little about the Archangel Michael.
Isn't it Zenol? Did you notice that I didn't answer anything for him at all? I was like, okay, well,
yeah.
You're saying contradictory things. So, I mean, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we
here's
were both
somebody.
Starting to get a feeling there. And I had my head turned away from the computer, and then and all of a sudden I heard something about prostitution. I'm like, okay, we're going to go.
Mm-hmm. But the children, which was good.
Oh,
I thought he rolled out some really inventive, made-up businesses right off the rip. So
yeah,
that was good.
Well, anyway.
But that's where, you know, I listen to people. I think people don't realize they just, especially if they're frantic, they rattle off, and I mean real clients that I have, they'll rattle off a lot of stuff at once, and they don't realize that I'm actually paying attention to everything they're saying. And some of it's totally contradictory. You know, they'll be like, I really, really love my husband. I want to save this marriage. But you know, I can't stand him anymore. So I want to figure out how to move out of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever heard something like that, Daniel? I mean, I have.
Yeah.
You know, like, so do you want to move out of the house or do you want to stay in the marriage? I don't know.
Yeah, that's,
you know. That's the whole.
But anyway, that happens sometimes when you do a live on-screen radio show. Sometimes you get.
Oh, I don't.
Trolley callers, and we've actually been really blessed not to have too many.
Oh, just really? Mm-hmm. Have you had one before? Or?
We have on other shows, but not necessarily for, very rarely on this one, and very rarely.
Mm-hmm. Well, you obviously realize to not pick that up one then.
Right. So, anyway, I just don't want to talk about it too much more because when they do that, the part of their thrill.
Oh,
is,
no, you don't feed them the negative.
Yeah, yeah.
So at any rate, let's go back to basically. I don't think that there really is a separation between the sacrificial lamb situation in the hero mentality because, you know, facing something like crucifixion or facing. The fact that, okay, let's say, you know, we're signed up for the fact that this person is, you know, effectively, if we are talking about Jesus right now, he is the Son of God, then, you know, he has given up every sort of paranormal, superhuman, metahuman vestige that he has, and then is going to be tortured in one of the most, you know, sadistic ways possible on a human level. So that's pretty megalithic, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we were mentioning as well Archangel Michael. And forgive me, I was getting myself oriented when I noticed the bad call. I still had my guitar on. But
you were just like,
I was a little mad. And I was trying not to act too mad on the air because
no, I don't know.
But
that's a very thick skin, sir. Like you don't. If you could see half the stuff I, you know, deal with, like in the French Quarter all the time, it's like.
But I do agree with you on your point. And then back to Archangel Michael, if I remember correctly, and I'm doing this off the top of my head here, folks, he's associated with the element of fire, I think.
Well, he has a flaming sword.
Yes, so the flaming sword.
And he's also associated with the sun as a planet. And, of course, the sun is fire and gold and the element of gold, which also relates to fire. So yes,
when you think of fire, you think of, like, someone that can get things done. And that's definitely the sort of archangel that Michael is. He's that getting things done kind of archangel that I think of the typical Leo the Lion, like my older brother personality. Mm-hmm. Just natural leader, steps in, gets the job done, just mm-hmm. that sort of energy being brought to a situation. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just powerful is what it is. You know, it's dynamic. And the thing is, the sun is the center of all the other planets. So for Michael to be associated with that sort of energy, it means that, you know, when I have, when I utilize a table or an Enochian table to kind of localize Michael's energy in a house that, say, has spirits there that do not want to leave, I use the sun table or in Michael's sun table. So what we're seeing is that sun is the most megalithic energy source in our galaxy. So that's what he's associated with in a Enochian sense and in the astrological sense. Then we have to realize the power behind that. And it's hard for me to say because Gabriel has his own thing that he's been doing too, you know, which is huge as well. But I think that the heroic end of it is Michael because, again, he's the disciplinarian. He's the one that had to go to Lucifer and say, hey, man, enough, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had to do that. Now, let's look at Thor. Okay, so let's talk about Thor for a minute. So Thor is a hothead, okay? just goes running into situations. If we're really looking at the sagas and Eddas by Snorri Sturluson and other scholars. But he's also a little bit of a hedonist, likes to drink a little bit, you know. But he is, you know, facing men the size of small hills or mountains, you know, and like just running up at them with a little short stubby hammer and going after it. I mean, that's pretty megalithic right there as well. Also facing challenges such as, you know, drinking the sea down like, a, you know, several hundred feet and wrestling the old age and all that stuff. I mean, it's pretty powerful. So, but let me ask you a question. Do you think that it's his titanic strength or thirst or will for attack? Do you think those are all given gifts, or it's something that's more of a courage and valor factor?
I would think that what it is, if you think of it in an inspirational context, is thinking of, you know, the courage to do it, and this, the ability to look inside yourself and, you know, go, all right, I'm just going to step up in this. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to wield the big hammer, and I'm just going to, I'm just going to do this. And I mean, that's how I would personally see that. It's not necessarily my pantheon, but I am fascinated by the Norse pantheon. But in course,
yeah, I guess if you look at it in the Darwinistic sense, I mean, yeah, it's the courage thing. It's like, okay, you know, we could all just, you know, chug a giant, you know, bus full of ale if we if we need, but, you know, and obviously there's some physical, you know, difficulties
and
depending on the person.
There's something, but there's something alluring about that. There's something that's like, I'm so strong that I can just throw caution to the wind, right, and drink, you know, a giant, you know, giant, gigantic thing of ale, as you said,
I
won't be affected, and I'll still go into battle, and it's about really just, it's like an ultimate believing in yourself and that nothing's going to hurt you.
I happen to love it. I don't know. There's something really Darwinistic and interesting about Viking mysticism, Scandinavian and Teutonic mysticism. I find it really interesting because it's just like you really, they're just running in there and they don't even care. It could be like totally outnumbered. They're just like, like, I don't care.
Right.
And, you know, and that's the conditioning. That's what these stories are supposed to condition them. They're supposed to emulate Thor.
Yeah.
I don't care if the guy's 5 feet taller than me. I don't care. I'm running in there anyway.
There's the morality that comes from, you're not there to win, you're just there to fight. You know, it reminds me, there was a line similar to that in Braveheart, I think, where they go, we can't win, and he's like, something to the effect of, you know, we don't have to win, but we do have to fight, you know. So they're saying,
right. And the
finding that, like the samurai, very similar thing again.
We're not a far separation from the Vikings either, they're like down the street. Around the corner from the Vikings. Pretty much the same thing. Yeah, the samurai, too. See, I just pulled, just doing a reading, and I pulled the Five of Swords. And if you're familiar with the Five of Swords, you know, it's like you have this intellectual ideology, and you kind of follow through with it. However, sometimes it doesn't turn out the way you thought it would. Okay?
Yeah.
So the sword, the Five of Swords I have for this deck I was utilizing is, it has a samurai on it, right? And he's taking his sword, and he's, like, getting ready to stab himself in the stomach. And that's, like, the art of seppuku, where, you know, you've dishonored your family or your master or something, and you just kind of gut yourself because you dishonored, you know. So it's a bad way to die, first of all, and you're doing it to yourself. But it's all about the fact that it's, you know, death before dishonor sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because it's just saying there's some value in this training yourself to be able to be brave to the point of even when you know you're facing your own demise. And
right, you know that if you don't win whatever kind of engagement or whatever is going on, you have to come home, take your own razor-sharp giant weapon you have, and cut your belly open and then die a very agonizing death.
Right. And the interesting thing about that is you're just training your mind in a way as to say, okay, one thing I'm not going to do, even if I don't win, and it's a way of thinking of the community, is, but I'm not going to make it. They might win, but they're going to know that they're not just going to come walking in here like a bunch of talk show host trolls.
No, because the last thing anybody wants to do is end the battle, and they're not dead, because then they got to do it themselves.
Yeah, but you're going to let them know, hey, we might lose, but if you step into here, there's going to be a fight. So that's part of the morality, protect the village, protect the tribe kind of a thing.
And I think that what we're looking at is when Constantine did convert to Christianity, that's what the change in the age was. Well, those myths weren't maybe working as much as the call for kindness, the call for understanding, you know. Thou without sin should throw the first stone, you know, like, why is everybody trying to murk each other? Why is everybody trying to kill each other all the time?
Right.
Is this the best idea? Is this what is furthering society? You know, and that's why Constantine's like, you know what? This would be a great political decision. Why don't I convert to Christianity on my deathbed so that the rest of the Roman Empire or the last vestiges of it have to follow suit? And that's what we saw happen. So,
yeah. And
that was heroic, right?
Sure.
Think about that. Think about how all of the Byzantine emperors and the emperor from Antioch and all the other, you know, civilizations that were really trying to tell him, please don't do that. It's going to be bad for business. But he saw farther in the future. And he saw galvanizing that whole, you know, Spain, France, and all that area, and maybe even into Gaul, with that whole idea behind Christianity.
Mm. And comes an interesting point that the heroes are different. I think they're a little bit simplified. Like, think of the difference between being a great mystic or a cultist versus being a really good, and I say this in a complimentary way. I don't say this in any sort of way. For being a really good just servant or a really good Christian, the rules are a little simpler. You're not out there messing around with magic and a bunch of whatever. You know, you're kind of just going, okay, I'm going to be humble. I'm going to be thankful. Here's the rules. I have to repent. So it's almost just like in the Zoroaster and all of that. It's like they simplify it a little bit. Okay, here's good and here's evil. I don't know if the stuff in the middle is right or wrong, but I know which one will make you safe. And if you stay this and thankful and humble and da-da-da-da-da, then you'll continue to, at least you'll be safe, you know. So it's kind of taking it and, of course, then respecting the qualities of sacrifice and things like that as part of the hero archetype for that sort of simplification, if that makes sense.
Well, you know, I start to think of alternate ideas, you know, and not maybe alternate, you know, but from the mythological sense, you know. Like my stepbrother who flies Apaches, you know. There's a heroic aspect to that. You know, there's been casualties. He's like flying a big giant piece of machinery where somebody with like a toothpick rocket launcher from like hiding in a hole could knock him out of the sky. You know what I mean? If they get the right shot in or something.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be a nail biter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think about that movie with Glenn Close where she plays a man, right? And she's like the head butler in this household in like Victorian England. And how like it was a really odd movie, but it was very, very good. The point is, was this person heroic? This person was like, you know, hiding her sex and continuing. Her whole goal was to make sure that the house ran smoothly. And that was fulfilling for her. But there's something heroic in that.
Right.
Nothing. There's nothing selfish about it, I can tell you that. So it was interesting. You haven't seen that, have you, Daniel?
No.
No. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. I didn't expect it to be, but it was. And it won several awards too.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, there's quite a few things I'd like to get to see that I haven't. And what I'd like to do, Darren, right now, take a brief break, brief physical break, go get a glass of water, and then we'll come right back, okay?
Okay. Great.
All right, we're going to go and take take a little break here. And this one, we'll do a different song. And this song is going to be from some friends of mine who are going to be on the show soon. Sometime soon. And I've been playing music with them often. They're a joy to work with. This
is beautiful.
Woven Green is their name. This is kind of
beautiful. Yeah, no, I like their music.
Yeah, this is one of their, a little more mellow than the Six Sun song, but here it is. We'll be back.
Marvel.
Friends Woven Green, Jim and Ashley Cash, who are really starting to get some things done, and they may be the backup musicians on my demo, so it would be lovely to have her voice behind mine doing some harmonies, and Jim is a good guitar player and pretty good singer himself, and maybe incorporate drummer, and so I'm looking forward to that project, and I want to get some announcements, and then we'll come right back to our topic. Start right off with our plugs. You're listening to Main Street Universe. The Main Street Universe Radio Network is a network of 5 shows. The one you're listening to now is Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bouquer, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. On Monday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time is Kevin Baird. Kevin can be found at www.templeofgaia.com, and Kevin is the creator of his own oracle deck, his own oracle cards, called Ryzen Oracle. On Tuesdays, our only AM show is Inner Wisdom with Mary Thielen.
Justin, I'm so happy and I don't care.
And she She is on at 11:30 a.m., our only a.m. show. And she's a television hostess of a show called...
Right, Potatoes. I'm glad we
I think television. Now, on Wednesdays is our flagship show, which is Main Street Universe, the one that started it all. Myself and Kevin Baird founded Main Street Universe about a year and a half ago, I guess it is now. And my new co-host is hostess Janice, who is as well hostess of the World Reggae Party at 7 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays. And Fridays at midnight, we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with your host, Jessie Ann Nichols-George. Jessie is the author of 2 books, and now I think almost 3. I think she's just about finished her 3rd one. The 2 books that she has out there on the market are Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook. So there is our 5 shows on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. I'm going to go ahead and bring Darren back on. All right, Darren.
Hello. Hi there.
Hello.
Hey.
We were... Hello.
Sounds like we got a great lineup going on.
Absolutely.
Main Street Universe.
Keeps growing and growing. It was great to have Mary as part of the team, too. A lot of people around here know who she is. So when I say, oh, yeah, Mary has a show on our network, they're like, oh, the telepathic TV lady. So it's nice to have
right,
that.
Right. I met her like once or twice at the store. You know, so I got to spend more time with her significant other.
Ah.
Some of his workshops and stuff, Neville, so.
Neville Johnson, yes. I like his language book.
I like him a lot. Yeah,
his use of language book is very
more alternate methods of meditation than I've run into from anybody that I've met in the recent years. So.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has quite a few little alternate ways to do. Well, his whole, like, you know, the like he went through, what is it? Post-death. Experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he had a near-death experience and all that sort
of... Near-death experience, yeah, and it's... So I think that helped him kind of translate some of those meditation techniques, but it's been helpful in kind of me upping the ante into, like, if you can get your psyche into, like, a crystal that you're holding and transmute yourself into that crystal and then get the elemental, like, levels of it and just kind of link up with that, I mean, it's just... That's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Jesse does say in the chat room her book's coming out. And, yes, Neville, and he's into other things that I'm into. I talk about all sorts of esoteric things here, but I'm also into other things involving extraterrestrials and things like that. I don't talk about them as much, but I am into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he's definitely into the planetary consciousness, and he believes a lot of a different you know, their consciousness is growing, and there's other intelligences out there, and that you can astral project to other worlds and that sort of thing. It's a little much for me because I'm so terrestrial, but I'm not discounting it on any level. So.
Oh, absolutely. It's just, you know, everyone's different in there. I was always attracted to that side of spirituality, and as part of my search has been both intergalactic spirituality as well as very earthy systems that I've enjoyed studying under as well. So it's been a fantastic search, really, that I've enjoyed.
I don't know why I'm not more cosmic, but, you know, than a lot of people that I talk to in my industry are just very celestial, cosmic, and, you know, it's funny when I'll just meet somebody and they'll assume that I'm like an expert on astrology.
Right.
Assume. And, of course, I know certain traits and things like that, but no, I don't do natal charts while I'm sitting in the bathroom. Like, it doesn't, that's not happening, you know?
Of the interesting things about exploring a metaphysical path is that there is so much diversity to it. Like, some people might just really be into, you know, magical herbal healing or something like that, and that can literally be a lifelong study, you know, studying herbs or studying rocks, studying crystals.
Right. I mean, yeah, there's an herbology aspect to it, and then there's a magical aspect and an energy working aspect to using certain compounds and poultices and things that are related simply to herbs. Okay. That happens to be one area that I'm not particularly very knowledgeable in, you know. I might know more than the, you know, a lot of just the Joe on the street, and I'm sure I do, but that is not, I would not say that's my area of expertise on any level.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
for some people, that's their main, that's it. You know?
Oh, yeah, they're very green. They got the green thumb. They're great with the magical properties of plants and making things. There's a lot of blue-collar stuff you can do in the metaphysical world. You know, you can spend your time making, healing ointments and tinctures and all sorts of different, you know, drinks.
There is. I'm going to bring in, he was my best man at my wedding, but he's a wonderful soul, very, very profound person. But he does a lot of the spell kits and a lot of the retail charged items for the store. On bourbon, but he, you know, when I met him, I asked him, like, I remember, this is like, maybe like 1999, something like that, you know, and one of his jobs while he's working hourly is to pitch the reader, you know, which is
okay.
You know, right. So he's like, we have a very excellent reader and all this stuff. And I'm like, so what are your goals? You know, you're this old, like, what's going on? And he's like, my goal is to be able to astral project. So that way I could, to a point of where I can enter the oceans and swim with the blue whales in my spirit form.
Mm.
And I'm like, snap, that's pretty good. So
I like
I'm
it.
Like, yeah, that's...
I like that kind of goal.
Yeah. So he's definitely a like soul. And he's would definitely offer another viewpoint for maybe either my next show or maybe, you know, in a couple of weeks, something like that. So I'll bring him on.
Yeah.
One of the things
that brings a lot of people to a metaphysical path or what people call alternative spiritual path, mm-hmm. whatever terms you're comfortable with, is the out-of-body experience or sometimes just very lucid mm-hmm. dreams that feel so mm-hmm. real. And so oftentimes the spiritual experience happens for people during that, just as they say in Peter Pan, somewhere between asleep and awake. And it's that out-of-body experience. There's a difference between it just happening and being able to will it. And that was what brought me to the dance of researching spiritual stuff, was having just many, many out-of-body experiences.
Did you jump out, or did it just spontaneously happen?
It was more like... And, of course, thing like those hours that they say, like when you're just waking up or the afternoon nap or something of that nature, sometimes it'll be sleep paralysis. You just won't leave. You're just sitting there. And there's techniques for getting out of the body that way. But a lot of times it would happen not necessarily jumping out. Sometimes it would actually be a slow process of sitting up right. and getting out. Sometimes it would happen quicker. You know, you're doing it in a world, and when those things happen, everything seems a little crazy, especially if you're a kid and you have no idea what's going on.
Well, what do you think the trigger was, is my question.
I think the triggering it, well, for one, I was always a very powerful dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
And another, I was always interested in it. So
I think you should do some work with rituals before you go to sleep.
Hmm.
That was the first actual, you know, you can call it spell or manifestation I ever did, was protecting me in my dreamscape, because I was in my, when I was living with my two, like, spiritual partners, when I, you know, moved into, like, maybe my second apartment that I've had, but, you know, I was, like, 19, 20, and it was just really haunted, like extremely. I would hear this guy running up and down the hallway, and he would just enter my dream every night. And so I needed that shut down. So I got a book on asking Ciaradwin to be with you in your dreams and protect you on your dreams as a ferryman of the, you know. So you're on this boat with a certain X and X goddess, and she's with you, and she protects you. And I localized that energy, and it never happened again.
Wow.
And it was just like that simple.
Well, I will admit that I wanted to explore.
Mm.
You know, I am ferociously curious. And I wanted to explore, even though I was scared, if you know what I mean. And that can be a very scary situation. You think you're dying. You're like, oh, my God, you know, was I good? Am I going to hell? What's going on? You know, if you're raised Southern Baptist like I was. And then you have an out-of-body experience. And sometimes, like you said, sometimes they would jump out quickly. Sometimes it would be slow. Sometimes I would hear a powerful rushing wind almost, or a feeling of it. And it would happen, and I would walk around, or float around would be more accurately. And then you learn how to start controlling it a little bit. But I'll admit, I was curious. So to say I wasn't curious about it would be a bit of fibbing. I wanted to know. And there's a bit of mysticism in my family. So my older relatives would talk about it a little bit.
You do a manifestation before you go to sleep.
What's
that?
You
might be able to travel farther, have more control, have more mobility, be more aware if you just do an exercise before you pass out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be a very good idea.
Yeah, I think you should try it, and then we could talk about it next Sunday too.
Sure.
What did we talk about last? It was obviously a couple weeks ago because last week was my wedding. So weren't you going to try something that we were talking about?
We were talking about stuff on the radio.
Oh, was that it? That's
right. That was like 1,000 years ago.
What
was our topic? What was it now, 2 weeks ago?
It was,
Gosh. We must have worked it out.
Yeah, you must have worked it out. But yeah, maybe try that out and see.
We can do an episode about
that. Really interesting. Now, some people might not know this, but it is interesting that I forget sometimes who was the emperor that was in power during Christ's crucifixion. We honestly know that the person in charge of that province was Pontius Pilate. But who was in charge of Pontius Pilate? Who indirectly ordered the crucifixion?
Who was the one that actually ordered it? It wasn't Nero, was it?
Nope.
Hmm.
It was Caligula.
Oh, that was it. Okay. I know you don't think of Nero. I'm thinking of, that's where this beast 666 comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Who is actually, they say numerologically, it equals his full name.
Mm-hmm.
So the Antichrist, some people say, is actually Nero. It wasn't written about the future. It was written about a person, a tyrant of the time.
Mm-hmm. He was pretty bad, but Caligula was
my gosh.
The most chaotic person, probably the most powerful person that had as much power as he had. Stalin, you can argue Hitler, you can argue, but this person literally controlled a very large portion of the world. And he just would poison people indiscriminately and do, random acts of, we all know how.
He was pretty horrible.
Yeah. Right. And let's think about this spiritually.
Right.
The significant events that happened during his reign, which I think was between 4.5 to 5 years. It was a long 5 years. I didn't tell you that. I mean, don't quote me on that. I mean, it wasn't terribly long. It wasn't more than a decade by any means. But it was for that to happen right at like 1 AD. Right?
Okay.
That's pretty wild, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like the ultimate chaos, technically in control, and then the ultimate transition in the spiritual focus of the world from polytheism to possible monotheism.
And it helped to support the idea of the monarchy, because the saying of that time was one God, one king. What's with all this, Roman Congress, right?
Juno and Jove and the whole, yeah, right. So, yeah, what was that whole thing? I got one of my Easter gifts today was, a goddess tarot deck, but it has all the multicultural different goddesses that relate to the major arcana.
Hmm.
So that's kind of interesting. I was kind of checking that out. I've seen it before, but it's just, it's interesting that how they pick different cultures to relate to different, major arcana, and they pick the goddesses to, that relate to each one, like balance or temperance would be Yamaya and, you know, Freya,
yeah,
relating to, you know, the chariot of sorts, and showing her on her chariot with the cats pulling her across the sky. So it's interesting.
In that deck, which one, if it's represented, which major arcana card, if represented, was Kuan Yin?
Oh, she is sacrifice. So which card is that, sir? Put to the test. Which card is sacrifice?
That would be the temperance card?
No. It's ultimate sacrifice. Relates to today.
Oh. For Easter,
crucified,
the...
doing the hangman.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. But yeah, but that's, you know, the card is sacrifice. So it's like,
right,
you know, sacrifice, the hangman's up on the cross, prostrates,
yes,
himself for the world at large, and, you know, says, look, I'm giving myself over to you, and learns through self-sacrifice.
And
by putting himself up on the cross.
That's,
and how appropriate that you ask about Kuan Yin, and Kuan Yin relates to self-sacrifice when it's Easter Sunday, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I actually misheard your question, so forgive me, but that card is perfect for her because the legend of Kuan Yin is she was about to enter the kingdom of paradise, and she decided to turn around when she heard the cry of one human soul and said, like, no, I could go into paradise and elevate to another level, but I'm still needed here to help out because I still hear cries of pain. So that's why I picked her as a goddess, because she was rebellious as well as sacrificial and compassionate.
Someone sent me a friend request, and all it said was Kuan Yin, and they had a picture of Kuan Yin's head, and I'm like, I don't know who this person is. Is it really Kuan Yin? Is she really friending me? I mean, maybe I'm that cool that, like, goddesses, like, friend me on Facebook. I don't know. But I like her. I'm like, yeah, why not? You know, I enjoy that she's, you know, what I enjoy about her as a deity is just, she's always about peace, mercy. Let's, you know, and I'd like to really incorporate that into what I do for a living as well.
Right.
I try to understand and empathize with where someone's coming from. So that's my main thing. And I do a lot with that with the, you know, from the ocean end with Yamaya, but Kuan Yin's another wonderful way to really connect with that too. So I like that a lot.
Absolutely. And I'm going to go ahead and risk another caller.
Okay, go for it.
And we'll see what happens. And this is 484.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, 484. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Happy Easter.
Hey,
happy Easter
to you.
I was just calling to get a reading.
Okay, Darren.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Laura.
Okay. Hi, Laura. Any thoughts on Easter or anything that... share about Easter or the idea of heroes sacrificing for other people or anything
right
to add to that?
Well,
or just wanna
I'm very religious, yes. I'm very grateful for what, you know, Jesus has done for all of us, and, you know, it was a very big sacrifice, and, you know, I think a lot of people take it for granted, but, you know,
it's a good time to reflect on that this time of year, right?
Absolutely, right.
So what was your query, or what's going on with you?
I just want to know what you're picking up in regards to love life for me.
Okay. Just give me a second. Let me cycle in the spirit.
Sure.
Okay. All right, I saw what my spirit guide showed me, and I want to just maybe pick a card or two for each one. Okay. All right. I get a base for some. There's a give and take. There's a symmetry connection between you and this other person where I think that there's a lot of positive energy where you can build on that, except for now I'm feeling like a total disconnection. Like, I'm feeling like that promise of what you could build on, it's feeling a little bit, to me, like a little bit antiseptic right now. When I say antiseptic, I mean, like, you can't sense the promise of the building energy right now. And I don't know. Now, I think the card I picked was the Nine of Cups, and then the other card I picked is the Knight of Cups. But the Nine of Cups is right side up, but the Knight of Cups is inverted. So something has to further this situation where you can move it along with this person. Something has to change. There has to be a variable where some sort of, I think this person would need to step up and make the kind of self, we're just talking about self-sacrifice, obviously. So there needs to be some sort of self-sacrifice there. Now, what I like about you is what I'm getting is you're really positive. You're an awesome, positive person, because that Nine of Cups is positive. So even if there isn't that sort of variable happening, you're still going to be positive. You're going to look at the positive energy that you got out of the situation when it was happening. You're going to look at the positives that are happening now, which may be not as serious as maybe you would probably like it, but maybe it's still pretty good. And you're still going to be positive about the future. However, at the end of the day, you want to know, how positive should I be? Should I waste my time? What's going on? And that's why you're calling. So this person needs more time to, I think, needs more time with their own, in their own space, in their own head, because I think that you're not somebody that anybody wants to, you're not somebody that anyone wants to waste their time, okay? So I think that maybe they have some life issues to kind of, maybe financial, maybe some family stuff that they need to sort out. And then do you want me to ask about the long run? Like in the long run?
Yeah, I mean, I was feeling like this person was going to make a decision in April. I felt like he was going to be, you know, nailing this down soon.
Mm-hmm. What concerns me is your Knight of Cups is upside down. So what does the knight do? Like, I'm getting on my horse. I'm riding in. I'm here to save the day. Okay, so that's good. Except where it's inverted. So the knight I'm seeing is holding his hands across in a defensive posture across his chest. And cups are emotions, feelings, spiritual inspiration. So this is somebody, he should be putting his heart on his sleeve and putting some of his emotions on the line to make some changes so that way you guys can move forward. However, it's inverted. So it's telling me, if anything, if you poke too hard, he's going to flail and like he might not say the most positive things.
Right.
Okay, so now initially, like you're talking April, well, it's April. So that would be now. However, hold on. One second. Okay.
I kind of feel like we're in the midst of him making a big move.
What's this person's name? Do you mind telling me the name? Because it helps me cycle into the energy of the situation.
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's Dog.
Dog? Okay. One second.
I mean, my gut feeling is...
I keep getting life stuff for him, not... Like, he's trying to organize everything, and he can't... Is like, I got him the Emperor inverted. I got him being blindsided by plans that other people made that are against what he wanted to do. So all this doesn't have anything to do with you. It's just stuff that he has to do. So he may not be sharing about it, but I'm going to ask, in the long run, you and Doug, what's the deal? That's what I'm going to ask. Okay? Do you want me to do that?
Sure.
Okay. All right. One moment. Okay, good. You know it's the right thing, and you were right, okay? Some people just have stuff sometimes, okay? You're feeling good energy because it's there. I got the Nine of Cups again, okay? So, out of, you know, 78 cards, whatever, I get the same card twice. You know what that means? That
what?
This is somebody that's meant to put your emotions at ease. The Nine of Cups is like you have a big keg of beer and you invite all your friends over and you're so at peace that you invite people into your home to share your time and spend time with you. So it's a good
yeah.
card. It's a card of emotional stability. First card I got, however, was the King of Wands. When he gets his life together, he's going to map it out so that way you can be a part of it. So that way he can help you map out your life. Does he have sometimes really good input for you and what's going on structurally?
I don't know. His life is a mess right now and in the toilet.
Well, that's,
and
but
we're
that's
really,
what I was just,
we're really,
that's what I was
we're
just
really
saying.
Not, we're really his, not on good okay. terms, and I think he knows at this point that I'm so frustrated, lost all my patience of waiting for him, that if he doesn't do something humongous, like immediately, that I'm just
okay.
going to fold because I'm already
okay, well,
I'm already seeing other people, and he's got
well, listen
to do
to me.
Something.
Listen to me, though. Because I saw mm-hmm. all that already. So my point is that you do want him to do something dramatic and be the Knight of Cups. However, he's refusing right now. So you're probably going to have to spend 2 months maybe going on dates with other people, seeing other people. I'm saying 2 months on the minimum. However, I asked in the long run what's going to happen with him. What do you need to know? And at the end of the day, he does want you. He does want you as part of his life. He does want to. He's one of those people that has to have everything organized so that way he can actually make long-term plans. However, it's not that way. That's what I was telling you. It's a hot mess right now. Okay,
right,
he's
but
not
does
that.
He, but does he
okay.
realize that he's at the midst of losing me?
Yeah. He can't do it emotionally. His emperor is upside down. The Seven of Wands is like he got someone ran up behind him and whacked him in the back of the head with the log. I mean, like, he just, I don't know what all transpired in his life. But I think this, if he tries and fails with you and tries to substantiate what you want and can't do it, he feels like he'll lose you forever. But if he doesn't do it right now, then he doesn't quite realize how annoyed you are, maybe. Or he thinks that you'll suck it up and deal with it later. I don't know. I'm thinking that's
right.
the case. Now, you don't have to, but I'm saying this is a good person that does really care about you. I don't think he has emotional capacity right now. And it's situational. It's not your fault. It's situational.
And you don't, what do you feel about, like, his home life, where he is with his home life and family life? Is there issues there?
Well, let's look at the Emperor. He's getting the Emperor inverted. What does that mean? Means he's tyrannical. It means that he is trying to control through aggression. The Emperor is in control of his environment, and he's an authoritarian. However, if the Emperor is inverted, it means he's trying to control maybe with not the right, the right stimulus. You know, maybe he's being aggressive. Maybe he's being tyrannical. Maybe he can't, you know, if somebody did something underhanded to him to piss him, like upset him, then, yeah, and that's what the Seven of Wands inverted means. Also, the posture of the Knight of Cups I was looking at inverted also looks like that knight looks crabby. So I don't think any of this had anything to do with you. However, unfortunately, he can't substantiate what you need due to these other
right.
Now, if
well,
you want, I'll ask my spirit guide what the deal is with his home or... You want me to do that?
Well, what happened was my best girlfriend took it upon herself without
uh-huh.
my permission, without me knowing.
Uh-huh.
She messaged him. She private messaged him on Facebook and said, you need to quit playing head games with this girl. And then she messaged me and said, listen, I just sent him a message. He has to quit playing head games with you. And I said, oh, no, you shouldn't have done that. And don't you know... He didn't contact me right away, but the next day when I was at work, he's like, texts me. Why am I getting messages from people? And I was like, listen, I had nothing to do with it. I swear on my child's life, I had nothing to do with this message. You know, you got to quit letting other people interfere in us. And this is why we are like we are right now, because you allowed all these other people to get involved and get this. And he should have just told that girl, listen. Don't butt in my business.
Okay, but wait, hold on. So he should have told her not to butt in because he's not seeing it that way. He's seeing that you have a friend that was Miss Nosy Pants and decided to butt in.
Right, and I defriended her. You sparked
that situation.
Right, and I defriended her on Facebook, and I ended it. I'm not going to fight with her because she's going through cancer. She's on chemotherapy.
Right.
I'm not even getting into an argument
right.
with her because
but you don't
want to
drag
so
her through the mud
so
either, or insult her because she's going through a tough time. However, he needs to know that you didn't have any control over that.
And I told him that in all these text messages, I said I have no control over anybody else. I only have control over what I do. And he had nothing more to say. That's all he said. Why am I getting messages from people? I just don't know why he just didn't let it go.
Basically, you're looking at somebody who's kind of on the verge of freaking out a little bit, okay? They're okay. But if you do that one last thing, they're going to freak out. And this was kind of the last thing, and he kind of freaked out. He's not freaking out as much right now, but he's still a little bit upset. Hello?
She dropped out. I think she just lost signal, Darren.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
We only have a few minutes left, but... You were on to something there, and it just happened. There was another caller that dropped out earlier. It happens.
Yeah. Well, I think I got the message across. You know, I mean, it was... When I kept seeing everything, like, going wrong in this person's life, and then she's like, well, yeah, life's terrible. I'm like, whoa, that's what I mean.
Right.
And, you know, you're demanding that, you know, he needs to do this and make that's the demand right now is too aggressive for him right now. He can't substantiate that. He would like to, so hopefully, I really hope that maybe she has a little more patience with him. I just pulled the card of temperance inverted thing.
Oh, we talked about that card earlier.
Right, but I pulled it inverted, so it means that somebody's not patient. So
yeah.
She probably won't be, and you know what, that's fine. We shouldn't have to sit around and have a threshold for people that's unlimited for, yes, threshold for people. It's not necessary, you know? When you meet the right person, you'll probably have that threshold. And that's because you love them, you know? It's because, you know, there needs to be a line of respect, but at the same time, you're gonna be there for them and give them some room to do stupid stuff, you know? But that's what love is, so...
Right. And I'd like to take this time, Darren, to remind you're listening to Spiritual Insight.
I'd like to say that if anyone is interested in a private reading or to get in touch with me about any sort of spiritual work or anything, my email is dbucare@gmail.com. That is dbucare@gmail.com.
Right. And we're a network as well as five shows. This one, Spiritual Insight, 7 p.m. Sundays. Monday is Kevin Barrett at 9. At 11:30 a.m. Tuesdays is Mary Phelan with Inner Wisdom. Wednesdays is Main Street Universe of Flesh, 7 p.m. And Friday, Passion Midnight Hour with Jesse and Nicholas George. So we are a network of five shows.
Marvelous.
So we're winding down here. First, heroes and anything else we've been discussing?
I thought I'd say that we can emulate this idea of heroes in our own life. Maybe, you know, let's do a little exercise and try to do one thing that might strike us as heroic this week, whether it be running across the street to give somebody a $5 bill that looks like they need it, or helping somebody across the street, or... maybe tackling something that needs to be tackled at work that no one else wants to do and, you know, just do it for the better good and see how it feels. And maybe that feeling will replicate itself.
All right.
So.
Absolutely. And thank you, Darren, for joining us.
Okay. And I'll see you guys next week on Spiritual Insight.
That's right.
Thank you. Bye.
Spiritual Insight every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Remember, you're listening to the Main Street Universe Radio Network, the network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. And we'll end this one with our friends again Woven Green. This is Six Sun.